sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
Funny how he used to act, my little brother Zion. I remember my mom first found out she was pregnant. She was worried about having another child. Zuzu, Fat Fat, JoJo, Brit Rat, Junior, L, Shan Shan, get downstairs, she said. When we finally made it downstairs, my dad said, your mom's gonna have another child. I walked back upstairs. He was a chubby baby with a head full of hair. He loved sugar. Any chance he got, he'd stick his hand in the sugar and lick it. And he was just learning to walk. Then I lost him. March 23rd, 2014.
This is the story about...
I want to do it too.
Okay.
One, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Guns.
Guns.
And how we end up violence.
Bye-bye.
Because we are precious.
I am Reggie Moore, standing in for Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives, the live show. Almost every day, we hear reports in the news about gun violence, a short blurb that is quickly forgotten. But what about the people behind those stories? Could stories like the one Zenaria just shared compel us as a community to do something? Could their stories invoke the person who says, "This isn't my problem," to reconsider their position? And so, Precious Lives was born. This 100-part radio and podcast series about young people and gun violence in Milwaukee has aired each week since January of 2015. The stories have ranged from families mourning the sudden loss of a child to police officers visiting schools to build stronger relationships with young people in the community. Tonight, I am joined by some of those familiar voices from the radio series, together with new stories from youth and mentors affected by and working to end violence in our community. Shamira, a seventh grader who attends COA.
I'm from Chicago, where a shooter gets shot. You offer your thought. Bullets fly and bodies drop. I'm from Chicago. You is thought, not his wife. Girls don't go nowhere without a knife. Well, you're only 16, but you're still doing life. I'm from Chicago, where mamas bearing their sons and daughters on the run. Even 12-year-olds don't go nowhere without a gun. I'm from Milwaukee, where making it to 18 is a blessing and 21 is a miracle. I'm from Milwaukee, where you gotta stay safe, because any young man can die the next day, and you gotta tell that mom, but you don't know what to say. I'm from Milwaukee, where you die from police chase or car accidents. I'm from Milwaukee, so let me pray that I will make it past a blessing and a miracle and make it to something brand new in my life and have a better life than my parents growing up back in the days so I can help them when they get old.
Mother and COA mentor, Leah Tanya.
My brother Virgil was the type of person, if he didn't call home, he was doing okay. But if he was calling home, it meant that something was wrong. We moved here from Omaha in 1993. A great start, we thought it'd be. Dealing with a lot growing up, for moms, mental health issues, drug abuse, and her struggles to stay out of handcuffs. At one point, even ended up in foster care. And it just seemed to me that life was treating us unfair. But through all of that, my brother flourished. From drawing those cobras on 18th and North Avenue, to designing the show's middle school Panthers mural, from being mentored in after school programs, only to grow up and still help others. Our mom was the center of our family. And once again, we had a home. But then one day, she unexpectedly passed away. And things just started to fall apart day by day. Virgil decided that since the violence in Milwaukee had been getting worse, that he would move back to Omaha before he ended up in a hearse. He was fine, settled in, still willing to help others on his spare time. But one night he called, and I needed him to call back, not realizing that'll be the last time my brother dialed my number on the keypad. 2 weeks later, I woke up to a Facebook message telling me it's about my brother and I needed to call my grandmother. My mind was racing. I was having anxiety thinking about the bad news I was facing. My brother was on his way home, robbed and shot several times, and within 12 hours, his life was gone. A 21-year-old committed the crime, who'd just been let out 3 months early on good time. It seems like the youth have more access to a gun than a job, and this is a big problem that needs to be solved. I know my brother is looking down on me, smiling, proud of who I am becoming, a mother, a mentor, and an artist. I later found out that my brother called that night because he wanted to come home.
My uncle said he could take six bullets. The next morning, we was in the house and we got a phone call. My granny started crying and my mom was like, what is it? My granny said, my son just got shot. The whole house got emotional. My mom ran to where he got shot. There was blood everywhere, but he wasn't there. So we went to the hospital, but we couldn't see him. So we waited. He said he can take six. He actually took eight bullets and survived.
Zanaria, eighth grader, who also attends COA.
My neighborhood is people dying, families lying, while people crying. Bodies dropping like rain. I just want to ask why. Blood drops like tears. Hearing things from my peers. I'm only 13 and the things I've seen. I wish I wasn't me.
Through my dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me far, and grace will lead me home.
Each day, people like Shamira, Zanaria, and Leah Tanya are forever changed by gun violence. In 2015, of the 145 people murdered by guns in Milwaukee, 21 victims were 19 or younger. But our city is not standing idly by. Numerous organizations are working to address the causes of youth violence in our city. They are offering counseling, sports, arts, job skills, and mentorship to transform the lives of young people in our city. Thank you. Damien, a longtime youth organizer who works with Safe and Sound.
My business is my business. Those were the last words our son said to us as a free man. I've been doing youth work for a long time and I heard a lot of stories. Still wasn't prepared to become a part of one. I first started doing youth work in Milwaukee Public Schools' most restricted placement classroom setting, MRP, most restricted placement. What that is where they take the most challenging students in the whole school and they put them in one room all day long. Not the best idea if you ask me. It was sort of like the Sweat Hogs, right? But there was no Vinnie Barbarino, no Freddie Boom Boom, no Horseshack, no Mr. Carter. But there was Mr. Smith. And that's when I learned to cut my teeth on working with youth that might be some people you might not be too comfortable to be around. To quote money-making Mitch, homie, I am the bridge between the rookies and the vets, the parents and the kids. Straight-laced cats to all them brothers doing bids. I'm old enough to tell you how it was and show you how it is. Out on the street, no time for sleeping or dozing. That's why the shorties ain't dreaming and their futures are frozen. So they buy into the lies that the street life chose them. Mama lost them, but yo, I got the flow to defrost them. And yo, I kick it with the young thugs often. I'd rather see them dressed up on stage than dressed in a coffin and running full courts without wheezing and coughing. The blunt got them. I try to catch them before they hit rock bottom. New Jordans, we cop them. The latest jeans, we rock them to look fly, to cover the real problem. Nobody wanna be Malcolm or Martin or Mike. It's all about likes and Facebook fights. Fame and a name, that's important to the street. Making sure my people eat, that's important to me. You know, what I really try to do, man, is help empower and inspire these young people. You know, sort of like Professor X with the X-Men, right? He takes people who have these powers and abilities and helps them use them for good instead of evil. But the power of the street is very powerful. The draw of the street sometimes is irresistible. We're losing a lot of young people out here. Minimum wage job is just not sexy enough, right? Especially when the motto is get money, get money. We're losing a lot. Like my man, Aaron. He was an identical twin. He was an old soul, so he and I connected immediately. At his hood memorial, well, you know what I'm talking about, where they had the liquor bottles and the pictures and the flowers and everything around the tree. At his hood memorial, I saw some of his family members who I hadn't met before. They said, hey, you Mr. Smith? I said, yeah. They said, man, Aaron went to your wedding, man. He wouldn't stop talking about it, man. He'd been talking about your wedding for years. You that, Mr. Smith? And I can't tell you what feeling that came over me, that something as intimate and as personal as my wedding shared with my family, he shared that experience with his family. And it meant a lot to me. But my house hasn't been immune to the effects of gun violence. My wife and I talked to my son. We sat him down. We had one of those earnest, real conversations with him. Look, son, we love you. We want to support you. But we know the things that you're doing, and now those things are coming to our front door. Things have to change. He looked at us and he said, my business is my business. Less than a week later, his actions sent a ripple effect throughout our family and another person's family. Forever. So although our son will be coming home one day, there's someone who lost life. There's a child who doesn't have a father. So in the end, I guess his business wasn't just his business.
Spoken word artist and social activist, Thomas.
reduced to subjects of think tanks and board meetings. Talked about as worthless urchins, but highly valued by social service merchants and manipulators with languages and variations of letters behind last names like Easterbrook, Hofsberg, McMichael, and Systems Error. Structured lesson plans carved by the roots of manacles disguised as curriculum, arranged to condition thick-haired and dark-skinned wonders like us to think that we are the bad guys. Turn to page 92 and answer the checkup question. Yes, Systems Error says my people needed their help. Systems Error, when I reject your curriculum because my dad told me that I'm a king, you hand me a pink carbon copy of fine print, taking me to a 3-day vacation from jail. Oh, I mean, school. No, jail. School, jail. Systems Error. On the ground. Systems Error. Stop resisting. Systems Error. Scribble me a prescription my mom's Badger Care Insurance will cover. Systems Error. IEP meetings and think tanks. Write an article about me, describing me not by my name, Thomas Lawrence Leonard, but by the name 58%. 78%. 7 out of 10 young black males. Systems Error. Child Protective Services systems, global economy systems, political systems, marketing strategy systems, psychology and human relations systems, alternative schooling systems. Press play. White faces above white collars, decorated with the fancy Four Windsor silk knot wristwatch and Lexus key carrying. Excuse me, gentlemen, still conduct research to identify my error. No, my brother's error. No, my sister's error. My father's error. Look, I don't have variations of letters behind my borrowed black last name, but shall I ever get the chance to point the red laser and go to the next slide? That's right. While they meet, I'll help them solve the mystery that puts 93 premium in their gas tanks, pay into Little Dawson's tuition fund, and pay their portion of the family Florida timeshare. I'd let them know that I have no error. It is their system. Systems Error. Thank you. Now I wrote Systems Error to shed some light and to inform people on the type of harsh realities that people who look like me, who walk like me, who talk like me, the kind of things they have to endure, and the type of problems they encounter, and they go to the same type of schools I go to, the same type of neighborhood I lived in. And I'm a strong advocate for social justice, and I use poetry and storytelling to match those two, and I use that to give these messages and relay the messages about social justice, right? And I wrote this story, and I used this in a poem. Wait! Don't leave me. Tears come back. Salty waters roll from my cheeks, through the grass and down the street, washing away your one-way footprints to the store. Tears come back. Don't leave me no more. You said you'd be right back with the milk. The milk with the blue tops on my spoon, waited for the milk in the glass bowl, and I waited for you in the glass window, but my tears must have washed away your one-way footprints. So it's my fault you can't find your way back. Sometimes it's hard for me to look at me, because when I do, I see you. And once again, the lever breaks and my hands aren't strong enough to hold the salty floods back. So I just wipe them away. But I could never wipe you away, because I look like you, I walk like you, I even lie like you. Just like you. My tears are always dying to get away. And when they're finally free, they never come back. I'm sorry, I tried to keep them from flooding the streets, because I know it must be hard to find our address when you're knee deep in my pain. I figured you couldn't hear me over my rushing waters. But at first, I wanted you to know that Grandma had already brought some milk so you could stop looking. And then I wanted you to know that my 8th grade graduation was 3 Junes ago, but I stopped looking. And then I wanted you to know that when I see myself, I see you.
And mom just couldn't stand it, so she stopped looking. And then I wanted you to know that I hated you. So I hated me. And eventually, the cops started looking for me. You know, maybe you're lost. That's it. Maybe Milwaukee is so unrecognizable when it's covered in my tears. I'm sorry, but they just grew stronger than me over the years. Wait! Don't leave me. Tears, come back. You're washing away his footprints. Washing away his tracks. If I would have known that the store was so far away, I would have just waited and ate at school because more than I needed that stupid milk. Dad, I really just needed you.
About a year and a half ago, came up with this idea called Barbershop Mondays. And I'm sure people know about the barbershop and you know about the golf course. A lot of time gets logged in those places, a lot of conversation happens. And we thought, let's recreate the barbershop scenario on a Monday. Generally, when barbershops are closed, we're gonna recreate that scenario inside of youth serving agencies in the community. So it's gonna take barbers to have to donate their time on a Monday when they could be doing whatever they do on a Monday to come impart some wisdom and knowledge and learn from and also teach young people and people older than them. Some informal mentoring is taking place. What we do is we get people from the community, we get 17-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 55-year-olds, even an 80-year-old, and we sit and we talk. We get the guys in the hoodies with their pants hanging down together with the gentlemen that are saying, boy, put your pants up. And we're learning that we're not very different. We're not so different, and it's making these communities smaller. And it's making us recognize the similarities and not the differences in each other. After these great conversations that get mediated by guests who come in sometimes, we'll talk about issues of the day and talk about what's going on in our lives. They go out, and now maybe when Mr. Jones walks down the block and he sees the two dudes in the hoodies, maybe he's not a potential news story. Maybe he's not the next one that's gonna get robbed or shot. Maybe now he's, yo, that's old school from barbershop. What's up, man? Because now there's a connection. They're not strangers. It's been going really well for us. We have great conversations. And in addition to the haircut, the young men actually do community service with us. We put together a list. They put their names on a list. And when we're doing stuff at Safe and Sound, when we're doing stuff in the community, we call them up. Hey, man, we're doing some flyering. Come get with us. We're doing a cleanup, come get with us. And they do it because we've built a relationship with these young men, which is really cool. And now we get the buy-in and we can almost ask anything of them and they comply. The haircut is just the extra. The haircut is just to boot. It's really about the conversation and the informal mentoring that takes place. So whether it's the conversation or the haircut, either way, the experience is transformative.
Yeah.
Okay. Nikki.
Went through death for this designer. Kisses to Colombiana. Living in a one-bedroom, 5 kids. Kudos to my mama. Father ain't missing, but my period is. Getting messed up at every party, but that's the blood in me, kid. But I repent for my sins. Trying to forget the backdoor shots. I take a hit of this joy. And in hell with me, kid. Going to hell with me, kid. And like the torch and let's burn. Because we gon' die for these kids. We never lie to these kids.
I'm from a village of kids whose daddies get rid of themselves. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self.
They've been plotting on my demise since 98. And my mistake is giving people the time of day. My mama pray, she say I'm living on the edge. And if I don't change my ways, I could mess around and fall today. I stopped trying to work with others cause they all the same.
Talk the same, walk the same, even bark the same. I spark the flame and keep the bass bumping off the chain. A ball and chain, nowadays that's the cost.
I'm from a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. Can you feel it?
Cause we get high with these crows. Crack babies got a mark, snow colors they knows. Snow blown, atmosphere gone, decisions go wrong. Singing my song, sitting sideways, but I'm not in my zone. Do I listen to society? Whisper beauty in my ear. Spit deception down my throat, misconceptions of my fears. Got a daddy with a cup full of brandy. Got candy in his back pocket, wouldn't give me any. I was only a kid, looking for the right and all the wrong things. Mama caught me on my hands for almost anything. I couldn't find my sense of inner peace. Demons laying on my skin, so my soul retaining heat.
Yeah. All I know is gangrene, no infection. My only competition, be a man in my reflection. They say my direction, get dark as my complexion. Money mean happiness, the worst misconception. Every since a freshman, I had this obsession. The only subject that I found interesting. I swear to God, I think about it every night and day. We work our lives away just to see some kind of pay. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. From a village of kids whose daddies get rid of they self. Can you feel it?
Evidence shows that those with mentors have better self-esteem, better relationships with parents and peers, have improved academic performance, and see reductions in substance use, violence, and other risky behaviors. Mentors like Damien work to give young people a voice and are changing lives every day. Have you considered becoming a mentor? Karee, a strong voice in the gun violence prevention movement.
She wrote a note, drove on a highway, pulled over, sat in the car by herself, and pulled the trigger. And for the next 37 years, there was an empty chair at every family gathering, 37 birthdays, 37 Thanksgivings, 37 Christmases. She missed me getting a scholarship to college. She missed every race I ever won, every mistake I've ever made, every doctor's appointment. She missed my wedding. She missed the birth of my three children. My mother, Joyce, was severely depressed. But instead of having easy access to mental health care, she had easy access to a gun. Now, last year, on September 10th, which is World Suicide Prevention Day, I wrote an op-ed that was published in the journal Sentinel. And it was about gun violence prevention and suicides. And I got a response that contained an article. And the article was about the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, we all remember watching people jump from atop of those towers from hundreds of feet in the air. Now, those people who jumped off those towers, they didn't jump because they wanted to die. They jumped because they didn't want to be on fire anymore. My mother's brain was on fire. Now, I don't know what it was like sitting in that car on the side of that freeway alone with that gun. I don't know what that was like, but what I do know, she simply didn't want to be on fire anymore. Life without her has been difficult. It's been hard. But fortunately, my father eventually remarried to a woman that I affectionately call my mother, and she's the best person I've ever met. But it's still been difficult because I intimately understood my mother's darkness. And for the majority of my life, I didn't know if I had a voice. And if I did, who would listen? Who would I talk to? I eventually was able to join every town for gun safety and Moms Demand Action and the Wisconsin anti-violence effort. And through these organizations, I was able to meet other gun violence survivors who had been living in the same hell that I had been. I met Lucy McBath, whose son Jordan Davis was shot and killed in what was called the Loud Music case in Florida in 2012. As I listened to Lucy share her story, it was almost as if she needed to share these things as much as she needed you to hear it. And then I listened to Erica Lafferty Smigelski. Erica's mother, Dawn, was the principal at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Dawn was shot and killed in the Sandy Hook mass shooting in 2012. I remember listening to Erica share her story, and I sat there and thought, I want that kind of strength. I want that kind of voice. Then I listened to Richard Martinez speak and share his story. His son Christopher was shot and killed in the Isla Vista mass shooting in California in 2014. Richard could read me the phone book, and I would be sitting on the edge of my seat. The three of them literally changed my life. They introduced me to my voice. They made me understand that we as gun violence survivors, we're a family and we have an unbreakable bond. So much so that at an event a few years ago, Lucy pulled me aside and said, "Karee, I lost my son to gun violence and you lost your mom, but now we have each other." And then this past Christmas, I wanted to get Erica a special gift for Christmas, and I decided to get her mother's favorite saying as a tattoo on my chest. The saying is, "Be nice to each other. It's really all that matters." The three of them reminded me that not only are we a family, but I have a part to play in solving this problem, this epidemic of gun violence, that I needed to share my story so that I could help empower other gun violence survivors to be just as empowered as I am right now. So I began sharing my story in intimate settings like living rooms and people's kitchens, and then into churches, and then to vigils where we would celebrate the lives of survivors and the victims. And then I was able to do a special episode on CNN where they dedicated a full 2-hour segment to telling our stories as gun violence survivors, and they talked about the gun violence problem. And then, oh, check this out. So I get this call to do a special public service announcement with the NBA that was going to air on Christmas Day. It was like it was my 15 minutes of fame. So I walk into the room, and I'm not kidding, it was none other than Mars Blackmon.
Is it the shoes?
Right. What? One of my childhood heroes, Spike Lee, is in this room waiting to interview me. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's a whole bunch of y'all out there. We're gonna keep it real. I was giddy. I was all excited. I was that guy this one time. I was so excited, I was like, I'm gonna get his autograph. I'm gonna run in there and hug him and tell him how much I love Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing. But then I remember, the only reason I am here is because my mother is dead. And I would gladly give every one of those events back, every one of those minutes, just to spend a few minutes with her, just to hear her tell me, "Karee, I love you, but I can't go back and save her life. But what I can do, what I am going to do, is help save someone else's." Thank you.
Nicole, AmeriCorps member for City Year Milwaukee.
Hey, hold on. I'm a little taller. Okay, there we go. So the poem I'm about to read to y'all, I did this poem at a piece that my, at a place where my mom showed up, and it was real inspirational. And afterwards, you know, we got in the car, and she's about to take me to McDonald's, and I was like, "Moms, man, that was so nice. I don't know, like, where I got the inspiration from. It just came out of nowhere, like popsicles and freezers." And then she looked me in my eyes, and she was like, "I used to count your brothers using popsicles." And I was just like, "What?" So then she ended up telling me that a way of her, like, knowing if my brothers was home, if they actually came home, she would buy a bunch of popsicles, right? She would put them in the freezer. And if she came home and there was no popsicles in the freezer, she would know that they was there, you know, because that's all they do, eat up everything. But if she came home and it was a freezer full of popsicles, she popped off immediately. Didn't care who was there. It was just like, "Where are my kids at?" And I was just like, "Oh, that's nice." So I ended up writing this piece. It's connected to gun violence too. So. There's a lack of sensation in your fingertips. It's been a lack of dedication, and assumptions are assumed because you lack the sight of patience. See, we gotta figure out how to get these popsicles out this freezer for these kids up in this living room. I mean, we gotta figure out how to get these popsicles out this freezer for these demons in this living room. I mean, we gotta figure out how to get these damn nations out this freezer for these demons sitting in my mother's living room. When is life ever gonna freeze over? You don't treat me like a mistake when my tears aren't running over. I'm considered as tainted holy water. Everything is a shun that's blasphemy. When my father's tongue isn't seemed as possessed, but just also blessed. Just tell me when Jesus is supposed to come in, because I left the door open, and I guess the cold air isn't getting in. And I guess I have to wait for him to understand my intellectual screams. My spirit is disintegrating. My prayers are released into the air, and they freeze and evaporate before they can reach his gates. And it's cold out here, and I'm froze out here. I'm standing stark, but I ain't shoot nowhere. Can't get anywhere if the message is seen before it's heard. But you're used to it here. See, you're living in the same old slums as before, getting beat by the same metaphorical walls, and that's a no-no. See, you're standing in poverty when determination could have got you riches. But see, in my hood, we seem to run out of wishes. Pots of gold don't sit at the end of Brown Street no more, cause kids got such slick mouths, the tooth fairy don't come here no more. Cause every other day you got a tooth missing, cause every little day little Johnny catch you slipping for a while. See, your strength has been missing. See, you been watching a hawk, but you ain't strong enough yet. You got your Captain America recorded, but you can't save the world yet. You got your Superman cape on, but you can't be nobody's hero just yet. See, you gotta do something to make this life worthwhile. You gotta walk across the stage and make your mama proud, because I hate to see you 6 feet on the ground. But it seems like the only way to talk is with bullets now. Bang, bang, bang. But I like to keep a broad vocabulary. See, I'd rather hit him with the 6 bars rather than the 6 bullets. Leave bruises on his mind mentally rather than... Leave bruises on his mind mentally rather than holes in his heart physically. Hit him with those brains before the bronze, because I hate to see my life behind bars, but BET and MTV got you thinking it's all about foreign women and cars. And your friends tell you if you get high enough, you can go to Mars. But how many doobies have my family members smoked and I still have not seen those stars? I got scars. Kids still want in their ear because unpopularity is their biggest fear, but I can have you spitting simile so cold it's like spears to the ears. But you gotta listen up and peep this game. These streets will never bring you fame. Have you standing by the power line watching your main homies J's hanging vain because you thought your squad was just too cray? But watch what you say, because conversations no longer happen out here. There's no happily ever afters out here. He popped you. All his friends hyping him up on the way to mom's crib like he dropped you. You got blood on your shirt with tears in your eyes. You won this war, but you get no prize because you know your mama's going to cry. So she got to figure out how to get these popsicles out the freezer for these kids up in his living room. She got to figure out how to get these damn names. Wait. She's just wondering, when is life ever going to freeze over for you? I got another one. I'm sorry, y'all. Yes. Trust no one. And when you go outside, don't put all black on your beautiful brown body, these brown bodies are limited. They are almost extinct. Do not walk with your hands in your pockets. Optic lenses of these pigs have never been clear, but it seems to be very clear that frostbite. It's safer than sleeping. Bullet wounds through the night. Do not fight. Bow. And if they actually lay down, you ask how slow and then pow. Or maybe not. Anything can get you shot by a criminal, yes, a cop. And it's funny how they want to help us, but run to the automatic assumptions of who we may be and conclude to kill us. So watch yourself. Digest only yourself, for if you consume the oppressor's product, you are now what I like to call a Negro American's whitewash. But if you so choose to bring it my way, I'm sorry, but I don't drink backwash, but I'll spit in the face of assimilation. He cannot stay in his classroom because of his ADHD, but his ADA says he's had 100% attendance for the last 3 weeks, but the number of referrals he's received in the last two will have him CO'd by the next, and it is an abomination to call these rules fair and nest these nooses around these kids' necks. But they are living in the complex conclusion that this is their only reality. Our black sons will become victims of unjust, unfair fears of white men in blue suits who gave oath to serve and protect but can't even give warning shots when their brothers in arms are the threat. You can't tell me you ain't never watched a black boy play hopscotch in these concrete jungles. Listen to a mother count her blessings every time her beautiful black sons speak, wondering how their bodies ain't filled these concrete jungle floors, how their bodies ain't picked these concrete jungle floors. You cannot play outside past 5 p.m. Because the bob staring out his six-story window at 8 p.m., you are now a liability, and you will be running from the conclusion of not understanding. And by 8:15, he will be loading his bullets into his weapon, and by 9 o'clock, you will be on the ground, and they will be preparing statements for the 11 o'clock news on how they didn't know it was you. Didn't know you were only 12, going on 13. Didn't know your brother is only 15, and as you sit at my kitchen table with your very first CO hearing, I cannot save you. I cannot warn you. I can only give you the instructions for the beautiful black boy. Do not put all black on your beautiful brown body. These brown bodies are limited. They are almost extinct. Do not walk with your hands in your pockets. Optic lenses of these pigs have never been clear, but it seems to be very clear that you are no longer safe out here.
Survivors of gun violence, like Karee and Nicole, share their stories throughout the community to educate, prevent more violence, and ignite conversation. These issues are difficult to discuss, but vitally important. Since 1999, we have lost roughly the same number of kids in Wisconsin to suicide as we have to homicide. Gun violence is not specific to a zip code. When was the last time you talked about gun violence in your community or to your kids? And if you don't know how, consider listening to an episode of Precious Lives to start the conversation. As you have heard tonight, the victims aren't just the ones who are killed. Every child must have the opportunity to dream, to succeed, to grow old. In the words of South African activist Desmond Tutu, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Timberly, creative writing major at Milwaukee School of the Arts.
Letter to gun violence. Hot bullets hit the ground as they take away another one of my fallen soldiers. Gunshots travel in my mind and becomes another stamp, licked and sticked on an envelope. My mind is slowly dying in. Trying to run away from another funeral. Trying to discipline my tears from running from my eyes because I don't want to be traumatized by the pain anymore. Nowadays, we just sit and read books or diaries of broken minds imprinted with criminal activities. Survival becomes the main word of my homemade mind dictionary. You sit and think, what makes their mind create such a crime? Is it because they're fed up and they want all the power? Or is it because their mind is scared, traumatized, and filled with the emptiness of brutality of them shooting and killing the broken mirror of the city they live in? Sincerely, a broken mind of violence.
Warren, ninth grader and future entertainer.
Hi, my full name is Warren Nathaniel Griffin Yates. I'm 14 years old. At 8, my mom told me guns are a no. She told me they were meant for killing, and people often use them when they're stealing, causing pain that is never healing, and they often leave us with an empty feeling. So I'm thankful and proud that my family kept guns out of my life, and now I can see clearly why they were right. I got into music about 3 years ago. I heard my older cousin, and I thought she was dope. I saw I kept her off the streets. I saw I gave her hope. So I decided to write. I decided to flow. Do you and what you gotta do? Do you to put your life through? Be on top, don't stop. And we all know that you gon' rock. Be cool, you're never gonna lose. Be true and fit your own shoes. Cause you were strong all along. Remember that when you hear this song. So do you and what you gotta do. Do you to put your life through. Be on top, don't stop. Yeah. And we all know that you gon' rock, yeah. And we all know that you gon' rock, yeah. And we all know that you gon' rock, come on. And we all know that you gon' rock, yeah. And we all know that you gon' rock.
Hip hop is the art of making something out of nothing. Y'all give it up again for Warren. Y'all repeat after me. Somebody say, we gon'
make
it. Y'all remember that. My name is Fidel, and I started the Summer of Peace 15 years ago. Thank you. And we didn't start the Summer of Peace to tell our young people to put the guns down. We didn't start Summer of Peace to tell our young people to stop the killing. We started Summer of Peace for our youngsters, our little shorties, the innocent bystanders that you don't see on the news, the ones who are getting great grades in school, doing great in their family, being helpful in their communities. We did it for the organizations that have so many great programs and creative outlets for young people in the city. They need promotion. They need a platform. We started Summer of Peace to promote the positive, to give our young people a platform to tell their own stories, to change the narrative.
I'm missing you. Your life was a book I wasn't finished reading. That was a good book, but somebody shot through it. I'm missing you. I'm missing that book. What happened to that song I'm used to hearing? We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. What happened? What happened to that voice, to that song? I can hear it slowly drifting away. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. I'm missing you. I'm missing that book. I'm missing that song. The comedy of that book is far gone. The tears of that book is here standing alone. The laughter of that book is long gone. I'm missing you. I'm missing that book. I'm missing that song. Every step I take, every move I make, every single day, every time I pray, I'll be missing you. Rest in peace, Pooh.
Sing it again.
Oh.
Teddy bear that everyone talks to, confides in, and plays with. And I have always been that way. It was on Mother's Day when my older brother was hit by a car and I was very young. He had to be put into a full body cast and he had to learn how to do everything over. How to walk, how to use the restroom, how to dress, how to just be him and just be human. One day I saw him walking along with his walker, and guess what I did? I snatched it out of his hand because I just got so tired of him walking along with his walker. Like, it's time to give it up. It's time to walk again, brother. Sometimes it's hard to be the teddy bear. I was 13 in Madison when I found out my older cousin was shot and killed in Las Vegas. I was at an engineering camp and I saw the status on Facebook and it said RIP Pooh. That was the worst death I ever experienced in my life because that was my favorite cousin. Excuse me, so I'm sorry. So our community is like a body and all the problems that we face and all the problems we see are the bacteria. And every time we fix a problem, and we get rid of one bacteria, it turns into a virus. We have to worry about that. So we as people have to be the antibiotic to fight against that disease that's in us. After high school, when I graduated in 2018, my plans are to go to Clark Atlanta University to be a business major and do entrepreneurship and create many businesses and create many jobs for people that are struggling to get one. Who been to jail and no one accept them, it doesn't matter. Everybody deserves a chance. And my main goal is to be a worldwide teddy bear and help everybody. Yay!
What's the worst that could happen? That's what I asked my older woman. I said, what's the worst that could happen? She said, what you talking about, Fidel? I said, what's the worst that could happen? She said, what are you up to? What are you talking about, Fidel? We wanted to have our Summer of Peace citywide youth rally in our own space for a long time after having it in county parks and city parks and Milwaukee Public School parks. We want to have our own space, so we wanted to repurpose a vacant lot. And I went to my older woman, I asked her, what's the worst that could happen if we just went in there and started growing food and setting up artwork and having events? And she said, oh, you want some land, Fidel. Oh, okay. There's a process for that. So she introduced me to Groundworks and a lot of other great people who are moving urban agriculture forward in Milwaukee. And we established the Peace Park and Garden, which is located on 5th and Locust. That actually led to great community partnerships and collaborations. And now this summer, July 29th, we're holding the Summer of Peace at the Martin Luther King Peace Place on King Drive and Wright, a bigger, better, stronger, faster peace park. Thank you. And you all are invited, each and every one of you. You know, hip hop started with a park jam. It started as a block party. Tribalism, bringing people together from different neighborhoods and different organizations, that's in our DNA. Growing food, doing crafts and arts, making things, that's in our DNA, that's part of who we are. So, we're gonna do something tonight. We're gonna bring a party to the stage right here, right now. Are y'all with that? You ready, Q?
I'm ready.
I want everybody to get up out of their seats right now. This is hip hop. I need everybody to get up out of their seats, stand up. I need everybody who was in the show, in the performance, a part of this production to come back on stage, please. Make some noise, Milwaukee, for the whole crew. Y'all could do better than that, Milwaukee. You could do better than that. Somebody say, we gon' make it.
We gon' make
up top, it. Say, we gon' make it.
We gon' make it. We gon' make it. We gon' make it. We gon' make it. We gon' make it.
Precious Lives, the live show, was recorded on stage at the Pabst Theater on June 15th. It was brought to you by WUWM in collaboration with 371 Productions and Finding America, a national initiative produced by AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio.
The production team included Michelle Lopez-Rios, Kimberly Clark-Gartrell, Kieran V, Michelle Maternowski, Eric Vaughn, Paul Keelan, Brad Lichtenstein, Leslie Cavedo, and Mary Ellen Jones.
Audrey Nowakowski was our editor.
We going up. And we never gonna stop. We going up. And we never gonna stop. Yeah.
It's beautiful to see people coming together. Unity is the key that will make things better. Unlock potential, unblock the mental. Don't make it complicated, the solution is simple. The voice of the youth is defining the truth. Hip hop, body rock, you can do it too.
Yeah.
The summer of peace in Milwaukee. Saving precious lives, we blessed to be alive.
Success, a high price.